Harper One and Harper Audio present Eat, Sleep, Work, Repeat. 30 Hacks for Bringing Joy to Your Job by Bruce Daisley. Read by James Clamp. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/audio/eat-sleep-work-repeat. It contains helpful charts from the print edition and will be referred to throughout as the enhancement. Introduction. Love where you work. Is it reasonable to expect to enjoy your job? That's a question many have wrestled with, often as they lie awake with anxious thoughts about an occupation that causes them daily unhappiness. If we're getting paid, then maybe it's unreasonable to additionally expect personal satisfaction as part of the exchange. It goes further than that. Steve Jobs famously once argued, "You've got to love what you do." For many of us, that's just a step too far. Much easier said than done. It's one of those casual exhortations, most easily made by a billionaire, that can leave people feeling inadequate. If we should expect to love our jobs, then who is to blame if we don't? Is it our fault? Could it even be used against us? If you really wanted this job, you wouldn't be asking for more pay, saying you've got too much to do, complaining about stress. Maybe we should find someone else who really wants to work here. Today, 83% of American workers report that far from making them happy, their jobs are causing them stress. Two-fifths of us have gone further and actually quit our firms to escape a stressful job. And this anxiety isn't just a nuisance frustration of our occupations. A 2015 analysis of over 300 different surveys concluded that the health toll of workplace stress was comparable to that of secondhand smoke. Stress is shortening our lives. The suspicion that work used to be way more fun than it is today really does seem to have a basis in reality. Many of us don't love what we do, and we feel exhausted trying. A national survey of the workforce conducted by the survey company Gallup suggested that only 32% of employees were engaged in their jobs, meaning that they were highly involved in and enthusiastic about their work and workplace. And this is often because our workplaces seem to treat us as voiceless pawns in the game. Another Gallup survey found that only 3 in 10 workers believed that their opinions even counted at work. For many, the realities of work see us worn down by gnawing feelings of job insecurity and by work environments that seem to be impinging ever more on our free time as we battle to keep up with our email or glance at our smartphone on a Sunday morning in case that ping we've just heard heralds some minor emergency. Living in a constant state of adrenalized stress can pretty soon leave us feeling depleted. In 2019, Anne Helen Peterson wrote an article that immediately became a viral sensation. In her BuzzFeed piece, she described the burnout generation, who were experiencing symptoms such as errand paralysis in their private lives, directly as a consequence of having internalized the idea that they should be working all the time. As we will explore fully in this book, a growing understanding that our cognitive powers are both finite and inhibited by stress means that the way we're working today is the enemy of our aspirations to be the best versions of ourselves. When this book was first published in my native United Kingdom, it became a Sunday Times number one bestseller. Many of my American friends told me that an evidence-based focus on fixing work wouldn't succeed in the United States. I was shocked. "Why?" I asked. "There's just too much focus on profit," one former colleague insisted. "No firm is going to encourage employees to work sustainably if it makes them less money." But in many ways, that's the point of this book. In so many ways...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?